The reading is from Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 to 23. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they'd been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there's no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here, I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that once again he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Katie. So, some reflection upon that reading once I've got, can get my iPad talking to me. Have a little patience, as Take That sang a few years ago. But a few more quotes that I just thought I'd offer to you in beginning that I found. If you think patience is a virtue, try surfing the net without high-speed broadband. Oh, it takes you back to the days of dial-up, doesn't it? Listen to that phone tone. But and yes, I did find that on the internet on my high-speed broadband. Lord, give me patience, because if you give me strength, I might punch his lights out. I had my patience tested. I was negative. Think about that. The P in my name stands for patience. That's why it's not there. Got to work out that one, but okay, I'll explain later if I need to. But Joseph had a P in his name, and it was just as well, because he needed patience. Let me remind you of the story of Joseph. You may well know it pretty well. You may well know some of it. But Joseph was the second youngest of 12 sons born to Jacob, and he was his father's favorite. You should never really have a favorite, should you? But we do have WhatsApp groups for our family, and one of our daughters puts hers down as your favorite younger daughter. So I can live with that. Joseph also had some strange dreams from quite an early age, really, which he shared, maybe unwisely, with his brothers. And the interpretation of the dreams that he had was that one day they would all bow down to him. And not surprisingly, his brothers did not like this. They did not like him being shown favoritism by their dad. And they looked for an opportunity to get rid of Joseph. And having first left him to die, they took the opportunity, rather than just let him die, of selling him to passing slaves. But then, on returning home to their father, they deceived him into thinking that Joseph had died in an attack by a wild animal. And Joseph ended up in Egypt, where he was a slave to an official called Potiphar, who had very few cares because he was one of Egypt's millionaires, having made a fortune buying shares in pyramids, as Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote many years ago. And Joseph prospered in Potiphar's household until he ended up in prison due to the malicious accusations of Potiphar's wife. And after some time in prison, he ended up interpreting the dreams of two other men who had offended their master, basically Pharaoh. And to the former cupbearer of the king, he said, having interpreted his dream, "When all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of prison." The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. How might Joseph have felt as time went by? You can answer that if you like from where you are. I'm not going to come around with a microphone, just call out. How might Joseph have felt as time went by? Yes. Betrayed. Brilliant. Brilliant answer. Thank you. Joseph might well have felt betrayed. Yeah. This guy had promised to remember him. Anything else? Depressed. Yeah. Impatient. Maybe. Anything else? Annoyed. I mean, not just depressed, but despondent. I think it perhaps goes beyond normal depression. Could be all sorts of things, couldn't it? How long did Joseph have to wait until the cupbearer remembered? The answer is in the next verse to the final one that Katie read, beginning of chapter 40. Anyone remember? Without looking or with looking? Two years. And Joseph really didn't have any choice about waiting, did he? He had no control over that situation, as often we won't have control over the things that make us impatient. But Joseph could choose the attitude that he had towards waiting. What effect might impatience have on his well-being? You know, when we're impatient, we do get wound up, don't we? It causes other stresses and strains in our lives beyond impatience. He could choose, and I guess in his setting, that was him maybe developing what we would call the fruit of the Spirit, being patience. Patience is not simply the ability to wait. It's how we behave whilst we're waiting. So, what things have you had to wait for? I guess we've heard some of those things around the table, but if there are others that you haven't been mentioned, what things have you had to wait for in your life that maybe you'd rather not have waited for? Yeah, anyone? Exam results. Yeah, well, yeah, some have had those in the week just gone. Maybe would rather the moment hadn't arrived. Sorry. Anyone over there? Oh, crumbs. Have you had...
3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, removal of scaffolding around a property, yes. I can understand being impatient for that, thank you. But you'd rather not have waited for Andrew.
Trains.
Yeah. Do you have some influence on trains in London, Andrew? Oh, okay. thought Transport for London implied that. Okay, anything else? But it's true, isn't it? Our train network, compared to those I have used in France in particular, where it runs like clockwork most of the time, I can't say the same for the UK, sadly. Anything else? Rather not have waited for. Pardon? Yeah, that's difficult, isn't it? I mean, hospital appointments, and I think we could be impatient with the politicians who don't seem to be able to sort out the NHS to the degree that it functions as it ought to. We could be impatient for that, couldn't we? And we will be impatient to get the appointment to either have peace of mind or know what next steps are. Absolutely. Yeah. Could be lots of things that would make us impatient, and I'm sure that you can add some of your own there. Where does patience come from? I think as we think about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, then we have to say that we need somehow to allow the Spirit to work in our lives to develop that part of the fruit which is patience. But it's not easy, is it? I often reflect when I come to talk about the fruit of the Spirit that it's not the same as gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes people confuse the two, but gifts of the Spirit can be received instantly. They can be received instantly. It might be something that suddenly we are given, maybe a gift to worship God or a gift of encouragement or something like that. It just comes to us just like that. But fruit takes time to grow, doesn't it? It comes in season, whatever that season is. And so sometimes we have to wait for those things to come. But as we nurture that gift of the Spirit that is within us, as we feed ourselves on God's Word, as we talk together with one another, as we've done this morning, and maybe in life groups, and maybe listen to sermons or meditate on songs that we have sung, perhaps the fruit can start to grow in us and give us greater confidence and trust in God. People who are patient, and we must assume, because we know nothing else, that Joseph may have been patient. People who are patient could be accused of being passive, just waiting for things to happen rather than making them happen. How can you tell when you need to be patient and when you need to be proactive and make something happen? And it's interesting, when you look for quotes on the internet, you see the same quote quite often, don't you, attributed to different people. So I had no idea who either of the people were that this quote was attributed to, but I like the quote. It said, "Patience has its limits. Take it too far, and it is cowardice." thought-provoking, isn't it? Particularly if we were to stand by all the time and just watch the injustice going on in our world, perhaps in our locality, without doing anything about it. Eventually, in the story of Joseph, he was miraculously reunited with his father and his brothers, who had thought that he was dead. And Joseph really showed immense patience with them. If he hadn't learnt it before, he certainly seems to have learnt it now. He showed immense patience with them, saying, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." We can't always explain, and mostly we can't explain, why we go through the things that make us impatient. There are things, aren't there, that we can learn to be more patient, perhaps behind the wheel of the car, Sally, or perhaps in other aspects of our lives. With our family, we can just recognize when we're being impatient with our children or with our parents or whatever it is. We can change. And also, we can try not to do things that make others impatient with us. But we can know that whatever happens to us, God can transform it for the good. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter writes, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, and everyone to come to repentance." I guess the things that we are impatient for, it's right to be impatient for, isn't it? We're impatient for healing. We perhaps are impatient, thinking of that verse just there, for those we love to come to know Christ as we know Christ, or maybe to return to the faith that they once had in him. We need to remember that the Lord's ways are not always our ways, but he is patient with us, and he may well be patient with those for whom we pray. I like word plays, and I was just thinking this morning, actually, that if you take the word impatient and add punctuation, you can read it as "I'm patient." Whether it'll work with you, I don't know. Whether it'll work with me, I don't know. But it causes me to think about, sometimes we just say, we give in, don't we? Say, "Well, I'm such an impatient person," but we do nothing about ceasing to be that impatient person. But perhaps by the Spirit working in us, we can move from being impatient to being able to believe and maybe even say, "I'm patient." So, I want to just finish by saying that our ways are not always God's ways, but we're called to trust that God's love is patient.